hate that. The whole idea of the like special developer brain where you're like keyed to be a developer from birth, you know, you were raised with QWERTY tattooed on your knuckles. The whole idea is like, man, everybody can learn this.
Welcome to the User Defenders Podcast, where we interview UX superheroes who fight for the users in order to inspire and equip you to do the same. And now, here's your host, Jason Ogle.
Greetings, User Defenders. Welcome to episode 31. I'm your host, Jason Ogle. Today, I got to interview Matt Marquis. If you're feeling down at all, either now or in the future, be sure to keep this episode at the ready. Not only does Matt drop some major value bombs, the levity and frivolity he offers, because that's just Matt being Matt, could easily cheer up Eeyore. There's a proverb that says laughter is like medicine, and after hearing today's episode, you'll see why. Enjoy my interview, and I don't know how you couldn't, with the one and only Matt Marquis. I haven't done this in a little while, but I really appreciate the iTunes reviews that you all have left for me and for the show, and it just means so much, and I'd like to start sharing more of these, and so here's one that was just left on January 2nd. It was a great start to my new year. It was from Luke.inc. Unique take on UX interviews, 5 stars. Luke said, host Jason Ogle interviews designers who fight to defend the user. Learn the successes and failures of designers who have made a career defending the user. Follow along with the unique superhero question format and discover each guest's superpower. Thank you so much, Luke, for leaving that review. It means so much to me. And any of you who haven't left a review yet, would you take a minute to do that? It really helps the show a lot. Get in front of other passionate UX designers like yourselves. And I the easiest way to do that is to go to userdefenders.com/review, and that'll take you right over to it, even if you're on your phone. So thank you so much. I appreciate you helping me to fight on. Matt Marquis is an inclusive web developer at Boku, where he makes fast, accessible, and responsive websites. He's the chair of the Responsive Issues Community Group, where he spearheaded the effort to bring native responsive image solutions to the HTML5 specification. He's the author of a book apart published, JavaScript for Web Designers. He's a former editor at Allistapart and member of the jQuery team. Matt is also a frequent speaker, ex-carpenter, amateur boxer, and also bakes a mean batch of croissants. Matt, welcome to User Defenders. I'm super excited to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I mean, I feel like now that we've covered the croissant thing, I can basically go. That's my claim to fame.
I would love to try one.
I mean, I do okay. The key is constant refrigeration. It's a pro tip for the listeners.
Awesome. Maybe you can blog your recipe out one day, or your method. But
one day. I dream of having like a food Instagram. Don't tell anybody though.
Isn't that everybody's Instagram?
I think so. I'd repeat myself.
Awesome. So every superhero has a secret identity and origin story. Let's talk about yours, and I know you have a very interesting one. I'd like to start the show by you taking a few moments to give us a look into your personal life.
Sure. The bio sums a lot of it up. I'm a hobby collector. I was previously, 100 years ago now, a carpenter. Not a great one. I was young. But now I try to do a little light carpentry on the side, cobble together a table every once in a while. Been boxing for about a year. Sub-amateur. Barely passable, if anything. So that's occupying a lot of personal life time these days. Living in North Cambridge, where I was born and raised. And that's the super high level view, I guess, of how I'm spending my time. A lot of cooking lately. I've only recently got into baking.
Wow, that's pretty cool. It looks like I think I read something on French cuisine. Is that what I saw?
That's right. That's actually kind of a funny story. So my old man, also a carpenter, when I was a little kid, I'm a vegetarian. I'm a lifelong vegetarian, not by choice, but just, by biology. I guess I'm an herbivore, technically. so I'm real young, and I'm in a, Irish American family, and there's a pretty strict you'll eat what's made or you'll make your own dinner policy. So for a while, I ended, you know, I'm eating mashed potatoes every meal once I'm young enough to run a burner. And my old man is like, listen, let me show you how to cook. I learned how to cook a little bit when I was younger. He learned it from his grandmother, my great grandmother. So he teaches me, you know, just some utility cooking stuff. Nothing fancy, none of the fancy names or anything. It's just, here's what you do when you're making like a sauce, when you want to make an emulsion. It's, you do this and this. So years and years later, I'm watching Food Network for no real reason, and it's a French cooking show, and I'm like, oh, that's weird. I do that. Oh, I do that too. I know this recipe. How do I know any of this? And so I call up my mom. I'm like, how do I know French cooking? And she says, funny story. Your great-grandmother was a long-time mistress to a famous hotel chef in the city of Boston who was like a classically trained French chef. And God bless her, she liked having her independence, so she got herself an apartment. She found herself an arrangement, and whenever he'd be kicking around her apartment, he would teach my old man classical French cooking.
Oh, how about so that?
Years and years later, it turns out I know a little bit of that.
That's awesome. How about boxing? What got you there?
Oh, man. Just being a pugnacious kid. You know, you got to do something with it, right? I mean, I maxed out at 5'4" for the record. So as it turns out, I've had my nose broken a couple of times.
Oh, mercy.
Yeah, but no, boxing was good. I did it at some kind of a lousy chain place for a while in my 20s, and I had a good time with it, but it didn't really stick because it wasn't great. But I found a real good gym in the area. Been going. God, I'm putting in like 10 hours a week at this point.
Wow, that's yeah. Well, it is a fascinating story, though. I mean, to be able to tell that story that you did box, and I mean, that's not something for everyone, and it certainly didn't take away your smarts.
It's a good, well, no, I mean, not yet. Or so much as I have any. But no, it's good. They do a lot of charity work, which is great, because if I'm going to be in there hitting somebody, I want to be hitting somebody for a good cause, you know? I should rephrase. If I'm going to be in there definitely getting hit by somebody constantly, it should be for a good cause. Let's not make this sound like I'm doing well.
I love it. Tell us your origin story, Matt. What inspired you to pursue a career in this exciting, challenging, and ever-evolving field?
God, see, now you hinted at knowing some part of the backstory, and there's a couple of versions circulating, and I'm a little worried about the level of editing that went into the one, you know, so don't call me out on any details that are more sorted.
You know, no, everything's on the table here, but no, I learned a lot about you on the your personal life, which was great on this this podcast. It was kind of short lived, but it was United Pixel Workers origin stories, and I was like,
oh,
that's
yeah.
Really cool that this exists. I wish there was a little more of that.
Yeah,
but
time.
It's kind of a tie into what I do, you know, on this show. Is I really want to get to know you and kind of what made you who you are and what makes you tick. But that was really really an interesting story. Do you feel like telling that?
Oh, for sure. Interesting is definitely a word. So, I was a carpenter 100 years ago. Bottom kind of dropped out of the family business, and, you know, I didn't have a contractor's license or anything. So I finished up the last couple of jobs we had under the table, and I ended up in retail. I ended up working at a CompUSA for a while. They fired me 4 times over the course of a couple years.
Wow, they kept
me
coming
5.
You back.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the pickings was slim. I did that. I was a line cook for a couple weeks at a stretch here and there. I was a bouncer for one ill-fated shift. I ended up, the last retail job I had, I was working at a singular booth in a mall in Saugus, if any of the Massachusetts listeners are familiar. Where, you know, like the mall booths where you walk by and they're, sir, miss, what phone do you got? We got free Razor phones. I was the free Razor phones guy. And I did that for, God, I don't know, 3 years. And I'm living in an illegal basement apartment with no thermostat. It's a 2-bedroom and there's 5 of us living there. Hmm. And like things are not on the upswing, put it that way. Mm-hmm. And God, that job was just awful. And I just, one day I gave my 2 weeks notice and I was like, I'm out. I'm leaving here. And they were like, oh, what do you got lined up? And I was like, nothing. I'm just going. I'm going to go. So 2 weeks ran up, and my boss was like, ha ha, yeah, okay, I'm sure I won't see you tomorrow. And I was like, yeah, no, you sure won't. And on my way home, I scraped together money to buy like a sad sack green backpack. And a buddy of mine dropped me off at the Oak Grove T station, and I took the T as far south as I could go, and then just started walking. And I family circused my way around the East Coast, hitchhiking for like 2.5 months, give or take, with a vague destination of Florida, where a buddy of mine lived, just because he lived the furthest away of anybody I knew. So yeah, a lot of hitchhiking, ended up in Florida. He was dating a young woman he'd met in the workplace who, while I was crashing with him, trying to scrape up a little bit of money to like start hitching my way back to the Boston area, she acquired a career in entertainment. He said, italicized. Don't laugh. You're gonna give it away. So
sorry.
She seeks new employment opportunities, and so she says to me one day, as I'm living there in their shared apartment, which wasn't weird in the least, hey, you know computers and stuff, right? And I was like, yeah, I've sold sound cards at a CompUSA, yeah, basically. I could type almost 15 words per minute, so sure. And she was like, do you think you could make me a website? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, how bad could it be? Which is, you know, a phrase that echoes forever in my head. How hard could it be to make a website? So, you know, a 2 week Red Bull binge later, I have this hot pink monstrosity of a website because on his old compact presario, I found some program, I can't even remember what it was now, where if I drew a square, I could put a picture in the square and use that to make what looked like a website, and it was tables. I had no idea. So I make that, and they're supposed to go on a cruise to Cozumel, Mexico together, them and another couple. They break up for some weird employment-related reason, and I kind of conned her into trading me the cruise ticket instead of the $500 she was going to give me for making the website. And 10% of what the site made for the indefinite future.
Hey, that's a smart decision.
I mean, I was hustling back then. Man. You know, you do what you got to do.
Entrepreneur on fire.
That's right. And so I took my paltry earnings from that endeavor, and a bunch of friends from back home pooled their money to fly me back because they were like, you're definitely going to get stabbed. And I was like, that's actually pretty accurate. So I'll take you up on this plane ticket. I come home and I'm like, well, I'm not going back to retail. Like, full stop. I can't just pick up carpentry and start working. And I got to make enough money to live. Like, on the website, I was getting like $100 a week. But I made that one website, so I bet I can make another website. And then I started fake taking Craigslist gigs, like for exposure. Like, I never email them. I just read the description, build the website, throw it away. I did that for a while until I started getting like little throwaway gigs from Craigslist, one of which was installing PHP BB. You remember that thing?
Vaguely.
Yeah. I think it only ever existed vaguely. yeah, for a little company downtown. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And they emailed me back after and they were like, hey, we're looking for an intern for college credit. You're not in school, are you? And I was like, oh, boy, am I. And how? I'd love to learn, and I would love to take that internship for credit at my school that I definitely attend. I never went to college.
Same here.
Yeah. So I show up. I do my three-month internship. I think I was their first intern because at the very end they were like, don't you need us to sign something? And I was like, yeah. I don't know. I'm not in school. Do you want to hire me? And they did.
Nice.
So that was my first ever job with a desk, February 14th, 2008. And I did that for a while as an actual employee, a couple years. Freelanced for a couple years. I was at Filament Group a couple years, and now here I am at Boku.
That's awesome.
It's something.
That's what an adventure to get you here. I would love to learn more about some of the. I know there's a ton more details in there, and it probably would take up the whole show if plus two, maybe times two.
There was some stuff on the road that is for sure.
Maybe your next book.
One day.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Wow, that's awesome. Very, very cool backstory, Matt.
I think Jason Statham for the movie.
Oh.
As me.
There you go.
I mean, I'm not real picky. I would take Jason Statham or a CGI Jason Statham. Both of those options are great.
Yeah, that's awesome. So Matt, thanks for telling that story. Matt, who's been the biggest superhero in your work and why?
Oh, boy. That's tough.
It's hard to pick one, I know.
Yeah, and it's tough because any of them, they're all people I talk a lot of smack about. So I can't now turn around and praise them. I have a reputation to maintain. Let's say a name that lives in infamy. Bless him is Ethan. Ethan Marcotte.
Oh, yes.
Got me some of my first work. Got me in a filament group. I'm basically, like, if you took 10% of Ethan and 10% of Scott Gell and their professional abilities, I'd maybe rank around there. I owe those two quite a bit.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And Ethan, he's at the status where you don't even have to say the last name kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I can't stress enough. I strongly dislike him. We have tremendous animosity between us. There have been some fist fights. I don't want to get into it, but suffice to say, hot, hot drama. And if you're listening, hit him up on Twitter and ask him what his problem is with Wilto, because it is just, he is just the worst.
You guys could have your own reality show, maybe.
I think so. Maybe that's the next career.
There you go. Put it on YouTube.
Keep on coming here, right? The memoirs, reality show, where it'd be more like pro wrestling, where we just pretend to feud with each other very loudly. And I hit him with a chair.
I've got all sorts of ideas for you, don't I?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In case this web thing doesn't work out.
You know? I'm writing all this down.
So, speaking of which, if you weren't doing this for a living, what would be your second career choice and why?
Oh, man. I have had so many retirement plans in the past, 6 months alone. The pervasive one is move to the woods and make chairs. Just side of the road, handmade, shaker chairs, put out a sign. You know, smash my phone with a hammer, forget how to type, and just sell chairs in the woods.
Ah.
I've also been thinking about maybe a food truck.
Okay.
But the differentiating factor is that, French cuisine.
French cuisine. Uh-huh.
And the differentiating factor is that it's a very large truck, and I do antique British motorcycle repair also in the truck.
Huh. Yeah. So it'd be like compartmentalized, though. You're compartmentalized.
Yeah, so you roll your old Bonnie T120 up a ramp, and I'll adjust your timing. And I'll also whip up some baguettes for you at the same time. How about a nice potato leek soup while you wait for me to adjust your points?
Oh, that's great. I'm sure that would be, I don't think that's been done before. So you certainly would be the first to market.
Yes, and just, we would be, I like to think, tremendously successful for the half hour we'd exist before the Board of Health shut us down. Just really bank a solid $50 before we were not allowed to work ever again.
The crazy thing is there's an audience for that.
Oh, yeah, it's me. I would just be pouring my own money into it. Just constantly fixing my own stupid bike.
Well, Matt, let's talk about life-altering experiences and get into your transformation. Now, as you know, every superhero has some sort of life-altering experience that helps guide their purpose and leads to a transformation where they realize the powers they have and they harness them for the greater good. We know significant transformation can occur through failure, as it's unquestionably one of life's greatest teachers. It wouldn't be fair if we just told all of your successes. I feel like our listeners, our defenders, really learn a lot, honestly, from failure. And I know personal and also from others that they look up to. So I'd love to ask you, can you tell us a story of what's been the biggest one in your career?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's tough. I'm a pretty lucky dude, if we're being honest. I mean, a lot of luck and a lot of privilege has gotten me pretty damn far. In terms of failures, I mean, web standards has had some solid results, but is a constant exercise in failure, I would say. A lot of the web standards work was like, you know, all bright-eyed, and I can't wait to work together with all these fun organizations on this stuff, and just getting shot down left and right. I mean, I've bombed a couple projects. I'm only human.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. And I just want to take a second to thank you so much for all that you've done and continue to do for our field. I mean, I can only imagine the amount of effort and tenacity and patience that it takes to really get the, like, change the spec or add to it and just bring us some really great things we can use to help make our experiences much better for our users. So, I mean, I could talk about that for a long time, but I just want to thank you for that. And I know our listeners too, as well. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I gotta be totally honest though. I'm the mouthpiece. I'm the really loud dude involved, willing to pick fights and distract certain web standards persons. But all the work from the RICG, that was a lot of people. A lot of people.
Yep. Definitely. Yeah, for sure. And you know, it's, I like the superhero theme because there are Justice Leagues, you know, in this. And the idea is, like, I know you told a story about how it all started. You were in the same room with some really other smart people, and you guys kind of figured this thing out together and got it working. So
The only thing I'll take credit for is that I was unwilling to let the topic drop. So whenever there was a lull, it was like, no, I'm going to go pester some more people. But
awesome.
In terms of solutions, there's a lot of smart people involved that sure as hell weren't me.
Oh, I admire your humility as well, man. do you have a story of something really crazy or super awkward that happened during user testing? Or maybe some of these meetings? Getting this thing started?
I mean, there's the occasional missent Slack message, but nothing. We've all been there, right? That's not just me. We've all been there.
Indeed. Oh my gosh, I've learned how to put a pause between the stimulus and the reaction.
Oh man, I'm so bad about that. Yeah. I'm just from the hip constantly. I think not that this has happened today or anything. I think I've gotten pretty okay at playing them off. Mm-hmm. But yeah, user testing wise, I haven't actually run into a lot of weirdness. I'm in a more of a position where I'm like on a weird line between dev and design. Even like, you know, title wise here at Boku, we sort of made one up for a couple of us. I don't do a lot of the actual, like, in the room user testing. I do get a lot of either raw or somewhat distilled results from it, but I don't get much of the juicy stories.
That's all right. You've given us some really juicy stories that aren't about user testing, so appreciate it. Maybe one of the failures could be something about not completing Mega Man 2 the first try.
Oh my God! Don't you dare! Never.
Don't open that Pandora's box.
I was born beating Mega Man 2 without losing my life on difficulty. Just going to throw that out there. I am an aspiring Mega Man 2 speedrunner, and that is a pervasive failure in my life. That is, I am very bad at speedrunning Mega Man 2, but Lord help me, I try. That zip glitch in Quick Man's level where you item one your way into the ceiling, two of you know what I'm talking about. It's tough to get that timing. It is tough.
Two defenders are going
4 hours at a stretch drinking beers and trying to do that, but I mean,
that's awesome. So they're making a Legend of Zelda movie, yes?
Oh, I've heard bits and pieces about that. There's an anime in the works. I know, not to nerd myself on the air or nothing, but I know Nintendo of America is looking for animators for a Legend of Zelda anime, and that sounds promising to me.
Come on.
Live action, though.
Warcraft didn't do too well.
It did not.
The Warcraft movie.
It did not. Allegedly, it was pretty okay. I mean, I ain't see it, though, so that says something.
I didn't either.
Yeah, I think that's the prevailing viewpoint on the Warcraft movie. Live action, like, you can't have a silent protagonist in a live action movie, and Link at best grunts and screams. Like, he ain't can't have him show up and be like, hello, it's me, the champion of Hyrule. I mean, if we're talking about the Doomed Hero timeline, which is clearly the best Zelda timeline.
That's a fascinating point, though. You're right. Yeah, really good point.
They're silently looking courageous. Yeah, that really carry, I don't think.
That only worked in Castaway, and even then, not very well.
So that was one of the like default rotation movies for a while. You know how those just kind of happen in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll be in some environment where a movie just keeps taking place, like Beetlejuice. Everybody has seen Beetlejuice like 17 times. Biodome, I've seen upwards of 50 times. I'm deeply ashamed to admit. I kind of like it now. It grew on me.
Biodome. Is that with Pauly Shore?
It's from 1994? 1996? Uh-huh. It was a heady time for all of us.
That was an interesting time.
It was.
Yeah. I just started on the web at that time, right around 96. And it was so new.
Mm. I don't even know that I'd connected to it at that point. I brought this up as I was struggling to hook up my microphone just before we started talking. I am genuinely not great with computers. I don't mind saying. Like, I use my text editor like if you had a pneumatic nail gun and you turned it around backwards and used it to bang the nails in. Like, I don't know any of the shortcuts. I'm just typing away. I don't tab complete anything. I am not as computer savvy as you might expect me to be for somebody who works with one 40 hours a week.
Yeah, well, I understand that. I'm similar. I mean, I like shortcuts and things, but it's just hard to keep up with everything. I have kids, and I don't know if you have kids, but it helps so much because they tend to like figure stuff out quicker now. Devices and things. I'm like, I tell my son Brian, I said, how did you know how to do that? And he's like, I don't know, I just knew. And they just have that instinct. I don't know, different generation.
Not me. There's a failing. Yeah, genuinely not great at computers.
Okay, there we go.
Which is a big huge irony. Get right down to it.
Yeah, but you are great at working with them.
I get by.
Yeah. So I want to ask you, and this is another good segue. What's your design superpower?
I mean, if anything, it's living somewhere in the middle, like a blade thing. God, that's the coolest I've ever sounded.
Oh, that did sound awesome.
It's pretty good, right?
I could put an effect on that.
Yeah, I like that. The typical semi-broken but kind of default process is somebody hands you a comp, you make the comp.
Yeah.
You have a few strained, tense conversations where you're like, I don't like this, or this won't work, or this can't happen. If there's anything I can take professional credit for, it's being pretty good at that conversation. I've done a lot of both, and I'm in a position where I could be like, hey, I noticed this looks a little off. I tried doing this. What do you think? Is this good? And like send back something from Photoshop or post a screenshot in a GitHub like thread. Be like, what do you think? Is this cool? Do you want me to tweak it? And then just get that rapid fire back and forth going.
Nice.
That has benefited me huge, and that is something I learned from Filament Group, who has that process like down. Mm. The design development process. That term is copyright. Ethan Marcotte, he invented that. Should definitely get credit for it publicly on Twitter.
Nice. I've also heard diviner.
Ooh.
That's pretty cool sounding.
That diviner. Sounds, it's magic year, speaking of Warcraft previously.
Right, it does, yeah. So but I like, what was the other one? Design developer?
Design developer process.
Nice.
Where you're kind of riffing on both at the same time.
Yeah. Hashtag.
Maybe. There we go.
Yeah, so.
There we go. That makes it real.
So, adversely, what would be your design or development kryptonite?
Well, I have a hangover today. So, that ain't doing me no favors. I guess it's the opposite side of that coin. It's a waterfall-y, here's your comp, have a good one process, where it's like, there's some things in here that ought to be riffed on some, but you can't. And we've all been in a situation where like the communication just ain't there, no matter how hard you try.
Yeah.
That's when it's like, all right, well, I'll do my part and get this done, but like, you know, I'm a very enthusiasm-based worker, I guess. Like once it gets a little caulking and paint and I'm not feeling the process so much, it's like, all right, whatever, let's just get it done.
Yeah.
That ain't a position I like finding myself in. I don't like working for a paycheck, you know? I mean, I do. We all do. But
yeah, you have to, yeah.
I like being able to put something to it that gives it a little more, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that's one of the things I love so much about working in this field is, I mean, how lucky are we, right? That we get to earn a paycheck, which is required. What does Monteiro say? Survival is not a soft skill. Staying alive is not a soft skill.
There have been times where I've been like, you know, it's. I'm in Boston, so it's -70 degrees in the middle of winter, and I'm getting tea to go to the office, and I'm like, ah, man, has anything ever been worse than this? And then I think back to the carpentry days with my old man wearing like 3 pairs of jeans with giant sweatpants over it and 9 thermal shirts and a jumpsuit and him being like, listen, if you hit a patch of ice on this roof and you start to slide, grab your hammer and try and dig the claw in real hard. So like, I'm not going to fall off a 40-foot roof today. I could probably deal with typing for like at 15 years old in boots that don't fit me. I'm clomping around on a frozen roof.
Oh, man.
I'm like, man, you talk about perspective. And I'm in here like, oh, boy, a unit test is failing. God, life's tough. Wow. You know?
Wow.
It's important to frame things.
Totally. And that's inspiring. You know, that's inspiring because you can really look at both sides of that coin, right? And I mean, having worked with your hands and like physical labor and like some very risky occupation, I imagine, especially out there, as you just mentioned, and then being able to do what you do so well and being able to share that with others. I know that's probably a very gratifying feeling as well.
It is. I mean, I will say 2 big takeaways from the carpentry days. I remember I started when I was like 14. Don't tell any.
Oh, yeah, right.
Any labor laws. But I remember, you know, and I'm 14, so I'm the smartest person that's ever lived in the history of brains.
Oh, sure.
So where I find out that we're billing daily on a project, and I say to my old man, like, why don't we just take our time? Then we'll get paid more. Like, nobody's ever thought of that in history. And he like levels his eyes at me and he says, that's not what we do. And I'm like, well, no, I know, but like we could make a couple extra. And he cuts me off and he's like, that's not how we work. And it's like, shit, okay. So I, that's a thing I've internalized. I hate the idea. Like I'm working for a paycheck. I'm working to get paid. I got to be doing something that's of some merit, even if the merit is the work itself. Just knowing that, you know, I did all right today. I don't think I'm going to change the world. I don't. Like, one good website ain't going to tip the balance in any big way. I'm not working for passion, like startup style, let's change everything. Mm-hmm. But like, I got to leave knowing I did okay. I got to leave knowing I put in the work. I put in the hours. But the other side of that is like, at a certain point, it's good enough. You got to call it good enough. Mm. Homeowner's giving you a hard time, they just want it done fast. All right, caulking and paint it is. Good enough. You know, it's still just work. You go home and work's over.
Yeah.
So it's a tricky balance, I guess, but somehow it works out in my head.
That's inspiring, Matt. And your old man just seems like just a heck of a guy.
He was multifaceted. let's say that.
He seems interesting.
There's a family history of interestingness, I guess, going back generation after generation.
Yeah, but he just seems like a man of character, though. I mean, just, you know, that's not what we do. We work, and we put our hearts into it, and we do it with integrity, and I love that. What a great legacy, I would say.
It's something.
Well, this is, I don't even know if I need to ask this question, but because I have an idea of what the answer is and quite possibly a lot of our listeners who follow you. But what would your UX superhero name be?
Oh, is it Muscles McTouchdown? I hope it's Muscles McTouchdown.
Yes. No.
You can't see this, but I'm flexing at the microphone obnoxiously. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. Yeah, I think I'd want. I mean, is that too on the nose?
No, I think that's
Russell
awesome.
Smith touchdown.
I think it's. I thought you were going to say Wilto.
Oh well, sure. I mean,
but I like Muscles McTouchdown.
Sure. I mean, disclaimer: I've literally never scored a touchdown in any sporting event, so that may not be. And also, I have no muscles. But like, maybe it's an ironic name, like a big guy named Tiny. You know.
I love it. So yeah, I love that. That's totally you.
I had a rotating. There was like a rotating nickname policy in the Alista Park masthead when I was tech editing there. I think it's currently Thunder Snow. If I'm still in there.
I thought you were about to say Thunder Snot.
No, no, I wouldn't be too surprised. Oh no, it's currently the Gift of Hunks.
Oh, nice.
And I'm not 100% on what that means or where that came from contextually, but like, I like it. I'm going with it.
Oh, that's great.
Since I know you fight for the users, I want to invite you to join the bi-weekly Bugle at userdefenders.com/join. You'll be among the first to read my usable thoughts, where I offer my often contrarian point of view on design issues, as well as inspirational and helpful articles on UX design and personal growth. You'll also get personal notes from me, insider information, and of course, super guest announcements. So unless you're currently driving or your boss is hovering, what are you waiting for? Join forces at userdefenders.com/join, and let's continue together in our important journey to fight for the users.
So I learned about what Wilto means from that podcast I mentioned earlier,
Origin
story. And I just thought that was the funniest story. Could you tell us that real quick?
Yeah, it's like the lamest nickname story. The lamest story for the most persistent nickname. It was freshman year of high school, and we had the school was divided up by hallway. So sophomore, freshman, they each had their own hallway. And I'm walking down the senior hallway. And again, I topped out at 5'4". So back then I was like, I don't know, 1'3". And I'm big, big mop of blonde hair. Just the coolest kid you ever seen. And I'm shuffling down the senior hallway, and a big group of them stops in front of me. And I'm like, well, I'm in a locker. And one of them like points at me dramatically, and he says, "You." And I'm just kind of staring. He says, "You're going to be Wilto, the chosen freshman." And then they like put their arms out and like stared at me expectantly. And I'm like, cool. And they start cheering, and they pick me up, and they're carrying me down the hall, and I'm like, I'm going in the toilet. This is how it's going to go down. This is how I die, as I lived. And they get to the end of the senior hallway, and they put me down, and they're like, all right, later, Wilto. And that was it. And every time I saw it, and it wasn't like, nah, it's Wilto. Every time I'd like run into one of them in art class, I'd be like, hey, what's good, Wilto? Nothing, man. How are you? He's like, I'm good. And it just stuck. Like, my sister calls me Wilto now. I'm Wilto professionally with clients. Like, my Boku email address is Wilto at
right.
myaddress.com. And yeah, it's just, it is a forever nickname, and it's cool because it's not even, not only is it not a name, it's not even a word. So, like, it's never taken.
Right. Yeah, you got all your aliases.
Available. I mean, on the rare, like on Steam, it was taken, and I've never been more outraged in my life. I'm like, this is a violation of the contract that I have. I'm the chosen freshman. You don't understand. So that was it. And yeah, now I'm Wilto forever. It's not, people think it's my last name. People think it's my middle name. I've dated people who didn't know it wasn't my last name until months in, and they're like, wait, what? Did you lie to me about your name? And I'm like, no, I didn't, I just didn't, it's not, It's complicated. Yeah, no, I was a freshman. It's this whole thing. Don't worry about it. I've cut my hair since.
Now you can reference this episode when anybody asks.
That's true. I'll be like, you got to check the reference materials.
But I thought what was so funny about that story is you're like, why did they say Wilto? And then you're like, had to think about it for a while. And it was like that movie Willow had come out.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm short. I had a big mop of blonde hair. I think they meant Willow. I think the one kid meant Willow. And all the other kids with him were just like, we're going to call him Wilto? All right, cool. I guess he's Wilto now. I don't know what we're getting at, but like... what's up, Wilto? And like maybe the kid was too embarrassed to take it back, so he was like, yeah, no, he's just, we just gave him a name, it's fine.
The emperor has no clothes.
I mean, gosh, I don't know, but here we are, you know.
So good. So glad you told that story.
Yeah, that's sure.
So one of my favorite lines from Tron was when he said, I fight for the users. How do you fight for your users?
Oh, man. Yeah, and this is a thing I've brought up, and this is the thing I have to stop bringing up in conference talks because I get a lot of weird looks about it. I don't, like, fundamentally, and bear with me, I don't super care about making websites. Like as an action, I'm not into React. I'm not into Angular or what have you. Like, I don't get pumped about, hey, let's write some JavaScript. Let's type some semicolons today. But like I said before, I gotta take something out of this other than my pay. So what it became was like, I gotta build something decent for actual people, or I ain't gonna find much meaning in it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing this for me. I'm not doing this for, like, passion for doing it.
Yeah.
I gotta make something worthwhile. I gotta walk away saying that, like, I didn't change everything, but I tipped the scales a little bit. Mm. Like, I moved the needle the right way, just a little. Mm. You know? And when it's, like, perf stuff, I made it a little quicker than average. I moved the average in the right direction. I made it a little smaller. I made it a little faster. I made it more accessible than another website might be. Like, somebody might land on this and be like, oh, wow, hey, this works. And, like, that's the goal, right?
Yeah.
It's just to have somebody hit something you built and be like, oh, this is okay. Because they're not, ain't nobody using a website getting psyched about the effort put forth by the web developers. Like, oh, I find this to be a functional and usable experience. Just like, oh, hey, this website doesn't suck.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, that's good enough. You know, I'll take it. That's high marks. I don't know if you've used a lot of websites, but a lot of them ain't great.
Yes.
As it turns out. So yeah. that's my one superpower, I guess. It's super weird motivation.
No, I love that. I love that because it just reveals your heart in what you do. It's, you know, you don't just punch in and punch out. You really do want to make a difference. And, you know, I know, we know that's in the startup world, that's a very commonly used, you know, phrase to make the world a better place and all that.
Yeah.
Kind of overused. But I mean, the sentiment is still important. The sentiment is really what matters. And you have and you are doing that. So
I try. I mean, when it gets muddled, it becomes passionate about doing the work. And I am passionate about doing the work. I'm passionate about a good result, I guess, is where I land there. Mm. You know?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm inspired by that. And I know our defenders listening are definitely charged up as well and inspired to just really, I don't know, really, really matter, really make a difference in the work and you know, look at the details too of what you're doing. You know, I want to talk about, actually, I'm going to ask you one more question.
Sure.
Because we always think about the future in this field, and certainly we are working in the most, I think, one of the more advanced areas of industry, I think, around now. And so there's always, and I know you and the folks you surround yourself with are always thinking about the future. So I'd like to ask you, what is the future of our field of UX, web design, whatever you call it? What does it look like to you?
Ooh, that's kind of a loaded question. I'm not sure how to phrase it.
Yeah, it's a big one.
I think what I'm looking forward to, and bear with me again.
Sure.
Is I'm looking forward to us getting a little more jaded about it. Hmm. There's so much, like, monster of the week JavaScript framework. So much, like, special snowflakiness around the industry. Like, cool new tool is out, I'm gonna use cool new tool because I want to. Mm. I'm almost looking forward to, like, I don't want to say the industry maturing, because that sounds unnecessarily, you know, judgmental. Like, people work hard, people do a good job. I believe that, I do. But I'm sort of looking forward to, like, I'm looking forward to the dust settling a little bit. Like, it's a new industry. We're all just making this stuff up as we go along. And I'm not saying it needs to be to be nailed down, quantified, and degrees need to be handed out for it. That is for sure not what I'm getting at, because I would have to leave. I think it's more just like, I don't know, the next time a yarn comes out, I like the idea of a couple years on being like, yeah, there's a new thing. We'll get to it. We'll try it out. Maybe it's good, maybe it's not. But just a little, I don't know. I feel like we build momentum and lose momentum really quickly in this industry, if that makes sense. Like, there's a big, new, exciting thing. We're all in. Never mind, we hate it. I feel like sometimes that happens to the detriment of the end product. It's maybe a symptom of passion about the job and not passion about the result. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I've represented this accurately, and I guess jaded isn't quite the right word, but I don't know. I'm looking forward to maybe a little more considered approach to a lot of technological decisions.
No, I like that answer. I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I mean, what I heard was just like, stay focused on the problem you're solving. Stay focused on, right? And don't get caught up in the new hot thing that, you know, may be a passing phase and spend all this time trying to figure it out, and then maybe it's gone. You know, like I think about Flash, and you know, I always wanted to learn ActionScript. It was always like, I gotta learn this. This is what everybody's doing. I need to make some more banner ads, that are cool and things. So I never fully harnessed. I never fully harnessed that language, not even close. And which is of course derivative of JavaScript, but so not such a bad thing to learn that. But I'm just saying that. I think we just get so caught up in the trends and what's hot, and we just kind of keep shuffling around instead of just staying focused on what we're good at.
Yeah, that's honestly, that's a better way of putting it than I think I did.
Well, I don't
know. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, speaking of what you're good at, I really want to take a moment. I want to talk about JavaScript for Web Designers, and this is your first book, right?
It is my first book. I've chipped in a couple chapters on things here and there. This is the first start-to-finish book.
Yeah, and I want to talk about it because I first of all want to say thanks for writing it, because it is such an important topic for any designer to really grab hold of, and I think about not just because you know, there's the whole conversation about should designers code things like, and I think sometimes that's another one of those things where we get too caught up in worrying about what designers should do instead of just doing what we do well. But I feel like and this is something I honestly can grab hold of, because I've struggled with this myself my whole career. I've never really harnessed JavaScript, and I've always wanted to, right? So I think I know I'm not alone, and I know especially because JavaScript has stood the test of time, right? Let's be honest. And I don't see it going anywhere for a long time.
No, I can imagine.
Yeah. So I feel like that's why this is such an important book for any designer. And I'm gonna say that I believe you wrote this book not to make every single designer, and please correct me, but not to make every single designer an expert JavaScript developer. I believe you wrote this book to help designers know the constraints of their layouts and working with developers. Is that, would that be accurate? And you want to elaborate upon that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I say this in the book, but like, it's not a book about the whole of JavaScript and the right way to do everything, because I don't know the whole of JavaScript, and I sure as hell don't know the right way to do much anything, if we're being honest. it is, you know, where I land on the like, should designers code thing is like, I mean, if you want, yeah. Like, it ain't gonna make it worse at your job, but you don't have to either. You already have a job.
Yeah.
So the real purpose for this book was like you said, it's like, look, if you want to familiarize yourself with this stuff, it ain't gonna hurt you any.
Right.
So here you go. But the angle I tried to take with it is like, there's a sentiment I've heard before and I've used before, like even now with reference to Webpack and to React and such, where I'm like, look, I'm not like a developer. You know, like I do okay, but I'm not a developer. And I hate that. The whole idea of the like special developer brain where you're like keyed to to be a developer from birth. You know, you were raised with QWERTY tattooed on your knuckles. And I just, the whole idea is like, man, everybody can learn this. You don't have to, and you don't have to learn any more of it than you feel like learning, but you can if you feel like it. And that's, I tried to write the book from a place of like page two not being about variable scope and hoisting, but like, look, here's the layout. Here's how JavaScript works. Here's the language and how it communicates, basically. So if you're in a position where you're just the web person at an agency and you find yourself copying and pasting a lot of jQuery plugins and hoping for the best, I've certainly done that. Maybe this will give you a little more of the anatomy. Like, here's what's going on. Here's why it matters where you put that script. Maybe you're a designer and you're like, you know what? I am going to learn to code. I'm going to get good at everything. Mm-hmm. God bless you. Here you go. Start with this. Yep. Let's hope this does it for you, you know?
Yep.
I don't know. I just tried to, there's a wall there. It feels like not a stigma, but more the opposite. Like, I wasn't born with the mark of the developer. So I dare not tread in JavaScript territory. And it's like, you for sure can. Everybody can. If I can do this, I can still barely type, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's why you're the right guy to write this book, because you do come from that design background first, and then you really grabbed hold of this stuff and ran with it. And so I think you're the guy to write this book, and I'm glad you did. And I just love how you take us through all of the important things, all of the important objects and tags and functions. You take us through all of the most important parts of JavaScript that we really need to know just to get a lay of the land and to get us kind of going, kind of teach a man to fish kind of thing, right?
Sure.
So I love that you did that, and it's so well done. Defenders listening, you got to pick this book up. Our buddies at Book Apart, they're going to give us an exclusive Defenders discount, so we're thrilled about that. Yeah, so there's no reason not to get this book, and I gotta say, you know, Laura Hogan's intro was so inspiring.
Oh man,
I was so pumped up after reading that. I'm like, dang, I'm gonna eat this thing up now.
Her book is killer too.
Oh yeah, I can't. I just speaking. Started it. Yeah, public speaking.
Really good.
Demystifying it.
Yep.
That's my next one.
The listeners have missed a rare opportunity on the book where I did a fundraiser for my first public like exhibition fight, where for a small donation I would not just send you a book, but it would be signed while wearing my boxing gloves after I beat the book up. So I need to do that this week. I'm going to be hockey taping some books to a heavy bag and just punching the hell out of them to send them out to people who donated to the fundraiser.
Oh man, I love that. That is so good. Well, if you have any left over that you want to raffle off on the show, let me know.
I tell you, I'll punch almost any book for little to no reason. You just point me at a book and I will just start swinging.
I hear writing a book is really hard. You probably felt like punching a lot of books after getting through that process.
To my credit, I think I only ended up coming in one calendar year past my original deadline. It got done, but turns out I'm not the most reliable of authors. If it weren't for the Book Apart crew, I shudder to think if I just slapped that up in a GitHub repo somewhere, what a nightmare it would have been to read. Mm-hmm. They are an unreal team.
They are incredible.
They are.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, so Defenders, check the show notes and the website, userdefenders.com. Well, definitely we'll have the coupon code from A Book Apart. You got to pick it up. Well, let's wrap up the show with imparting of superpowers. Matt, what's one habit that you believe contributes to your success?
Caffeine's way up there.
Amen, brother.
I mean, I'd say, yeah, the crippling addiction to caffeine is probably the biggest contribution to my success. I think that might be my best answer.
Fine.
I don't know what that says for me.
No, but I think that's awesome.
Let's put that one in the bank. Oh, and yeah, chemical dependency, I find is... Oh, man. It's... I mean, it's an extension of the caffeine thing, but it's just showing up, I guess.
Yeah, well, I live in Colorado, so you can catch a contact high on the highway.
Sure. I mean, on the trip home, that's not so bad, I guess. we just passed legalization in Massachusetts.
So oh, did you? Oh, wow.
Now
how
I
do you
live
feel about
there?
That?
I've heard that stuff is nice. I wouldn't know. I'm looking forward to drinking beers someday, too.
Nice. So, how do you stay inspired, Matt?
I mean, I work at Boku, which is a privilege in terms of inspiration. Mm-hmm. Literally everyone here in every possible capacity is smarter than me. Mm-hmm. And there ain't nothing to force you to step your game up like that. You know?
That's great. Surround yourself with inspiring people, right?
I mean, they are a good crew. They are a real good crew.
That's what I gather. Mm-hmm. What's your most invincible UX resource or tool you can recommend to our listeners?
Oh, man. I'm glad you asked because I'm finally officially Sketch People.
Oh, I love that app.
I have removed the Photoshop icon from my dock.
Wow.
It's still in, because you never know. And also, you know, safe for web and devices. But, like, it's the go-to now. It's the default. And it's been a long time coming.
Couldn't agree more. I absolutely love Sketch. What a great tool.
I mean, it sounds so scary to say out loud, but like there was no piece of software in this world I was more comfortable with than Photoshop. Mm. And that's like a special kind of broken that I have become to where Photoshop makes perfect sense to me and nothing else in the world does. But yeah, it was such an adjustment, like the key commands being just a little different and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I lost so much autopilot for a while there, and it janked up my workflow so bad for a while. But yeah. I think I'm in. I think I'm fully Sketch People now.
Right on. Yeah. Once you get through this, just that initial hurdle, like you said, of the keyboard commands, the quick keys, and the UI. But then it's like it's really to me. It was like a pretty quick learning curve. And there's so much out there, so many resources. People just say, check this out, and like, whoa, like this is not. If they had a manual, it wouldn't be in there. You know.
Yeah. Like I did I haven't done this with software in years. I found out about the plugin system in Sketch, and I did that thing where it's like, I want them all. And I installed, like, it was like 80 of them back in the day where it's like quacking at me and things are lighting up and flying around. I'm like, this is the best thing I've ever done. And then I had to take them all out because it was useless.
Yeah, probably breaking stuff.
Yeah, but
like your first WordPress site.
Yep. I've been having more and more luck with InVision lately.
Nice.
I'm a real slow adopter on new tools. Like, again, probably a symptom of the not great with computers thing. It takes me a while. But, Sketch is the jam now.
Yeah.
I have started using, I can't think of it. It's getcanvas. Hmm. getcanvas.com, I think. I hope you can't hear me typing as we make sure.
It's okay to
use Canvas. .com. Yeah, it's like a collaborative. I don't want to reference editorially. May it rest in peace. But it's like a collaborative Markdown editor that I've been using for Scratchpad. And like, you start an account, and it keeps all your files in there. Oh. And it is pretty rad.
That sounds handy.
Yeah, it's real good. It's real good. Does a lot of them. I don't know that it has like. I can't imagine it has anywhere near the support that editorially had browser-wise, but pretty good. Miss you editorially.
Wow, that's cool, man. Well, I haven't heard of that one. I'm going to have to look up that one, and I'll be sure to link these in the show notes to Defenders. But I want to throw out a little quick Sketch plugin that I found. I found a Find and Replace plugin. Where you can look up text in your, not just in your layers, because that layer one is awesome too. Rename your layers, and I know the guy that did that. Hey, Rodrigo, I worked with him at MySpace back in the day. Yeah, remember that. So anyway, there's a Find and Replace plugin on Sketch, which I'll link to as well. But we built this system. We do screening invites to screenings, and I built this system in Sketch, and this process has become so stinking fast. All I have to do is look up the address and the date and the time. I look it up once and I replace it and it's done. It's insane.
No joke.
Yep.
I like that. I like the sound of that.
Oh man, it's incredible. So, it's not bulletproof. I mean, there's still, they're still working out a couple things, but but hey, you know, you just work around
that. Software is.
Right, exactly. Constant iteration. So, I appreciate that. So, in addition to JavaScript for web designers, which I highly, highly recommend, I'm going to ask you, what book would you recommend to our listeners and why?
Ooh, that's tough. I would say, all right, are you looking for like...
Could be anything. Could be work. It could be, what was it?
Do you mean like to learn or
anything
for entertainment value?
Anything.
Because If Hemingway Wrote JavaScript is the jam.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Have you heard of that?
I have not heard of this.
It is. It's not all JavaScript and it's not all Hemingway, thankfully. It is a bunch of code snippets as written by famous historical authors.
Wow.
So, like...
Fascinating.
It sounds super weird because it is actually super weird. But, like, the code conventions follow their, like, their actual writing habit conventions. It is, like, the comments are all written, like, anything by Shakespeare is, like, employing the humorous logic of Java hyphen script with an E. It's really, it's
out there.
Very entertaining. If you've ever had your lunch money taken, it is a great book.
It's awesome. Really, really, I'll be sure to link to that as well.
Yeah. And like excessively clever authors, like that they get real purple prosy, end up writing excessively like clever and terse, and like too smart for its own good code. It's so good. It's really, really good.
That sounds awesome. I mean, I bet you a lot of our defenders listening have never heard of that book either. So that's a wonderful find.
Yeah, look that one up. If Hemingway Wrote JavaScript.
Oh, perfect. Nice compliment to your book as well.
Yes.
And I think that was totally accidental.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of shows some of the, like, none of it's super complicated. Like, it's not showing you a Lightbox plugin as written by William Shakespeare. But, like, they're all little code snippets that just kind of dissect, like, here's how a famous author would write a loop.
Oh, wow.
Then it's sort of cool.
Which one would write the pop-up window?
I guess you could accidentally learn something from it, potentially. But, you know, I don't want to quote you on it. There is a Dan Brown one in there. So
that's cool.
Is it Jack Kerouac?
Which, oh, yes.
I'd expect more M dashes throwing syntax errors, but that's just me. I joke. I do.
That sounds cool. Matt, what's your best advice for aspiring UX superheroes? Oof. You've given a lot of good advice already, but I just wonder if there's anything else you had in mind.
Oh, that's tough. I would say, like, let's be real. I am of no particular talent. I was not born with the mark of the developer that I've so maligned all this time. If there's anything I can take a little bit of credit for, it's that for some reason I'm decent at writing. Like I started out, and it's not like I didn't put the work in. I can't really take credit for it. I'm an okay writer. I would say what has benefited me career-wise the most is being able to write a good email. Like being able to get the message across, being able to write up a statement of work or write up a design doc and be able to express, you know, the plan clearly in there. I guess that'd be my advice, is write a lot, like, and I'm not good about this either, but like fire off blog posts.
Yeah.
Like constantly. None of the like, well, I don't know if I'm really contributing anything new, gives a damn. Just shoot one. Right. And it has gotten me pretty far. I mean, again, a lot of luck, especially now hearing a lot of those stories where I did not get stabbed. A lot of luck and a lot of privilege. But if there's anything I can take a little bit of credit for, it's I can write okay.
I love it. That's great advice, really. And you're not the first to echo that, but I think that just reinforces how important that is. And it's one of those things that's kind of easy to overlook as a designer. Like, well, I don't need to write that. I'll just wait for somebody to give me the copy, right? I'll wait for everyone. Yeah. You're going to be waiting a long time, by the way. Mm-hmm. But it's like, yes. You know what? You could do it. You could learn how to write well, and that could be an extra thing that you're contributing. But also, like you said, it's important. This whole industry is about communication. So yeah. Why wouldn't we want to be really good communicators in the written word as well and help others, yep. Right?
Absolutely.
That's great. Got a listener question from the Twitters.
Oh, nice.
Yes. This is a question from Zulima, and her Twitter handle is @ZoBlue.
Oh, hey.
She would like to know when your birthday is, Matt.
That's enough.
Easy.
This interview is over. If the internet's to be believed, it's every couple of days.
Right.
You have your bleep thing handy, right?
That's awesome. Yes, I do. Go ahead.
Okay, good. So, yeah, no, I don't like birthdays. I never have. Something about, mortality and the passage of time. It's just not my jam. Don't want to blow out candles on a cake. Thank you very much. And the internet has latched onto this, and it is just constantly my birthday. No matter what I do, I am inescapably the birthday boy.
It's become your meme in a way, hasn't it?
It has.
Yes.
And I want to say Ethan started it. I do. I do, and this is why the seething hatred for him, I can't stress enough, is very real.
Have you ever punched Ethan?
No, but talk about your charity fights, huh? Can we do a wrestling thing on the podcast?
Absolutely.
Cool? And I'd be like, Ethan Marcotte, if you're listening to this right now, brother. Oh, I like that.
Oh, I think there's something there. The web design cage match.
You know, I think he doesn't even have to agree to it at this point. I think it's pretty much a guarantee.
Oh, man.
Because I know he co-works at Filament, and they're like 2 blocks away from the Boku office. So I'll just roll in with a folding chair and hit him.
There's a venue for that, too.
There is. You know? There is. It's time.
Oh, man, that would be there'd be some eyeballs on that.
There would. All right, so for literally everyone listening, every single person, please know that this is very real. This is no parody.
This is not a joke.
No. Give this all the seriousness you give any of the things I say. I am for sure going to fight Ethan Marcotte. For sure. And you should @reply him on Twitter and be like, hey, Rad, cool, heard about your fight with Wilto coming up. No context. If he asks any questions, don't say anything. Block him. Just be like, this definitely is going to happen. Congratulations. And then just leave. Just ghost him.
At beep.
Yeah, so he spends every day in fear. And I'm just going to show up and haymaker him on the tee.
Did you ever see 3 o'clock high? Tell me you did.
I did not, but it sounds like fighting by a flag.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good. It's one of those cult classics. John Hughes and all his genius kind of overshadowed this film, but it was one of those kinds of films in the 80s. And the basic premise is Jerry Mitchell is this. He's one of the guys that gets his lunch money taken, and he has to do a paper on the new guy, the new kid in school. The new kid happens to be a very violent, historically criminally based fella.
I know a couple of historically criminally based fellas.
Yes, who hates to be touched.
Okay.
So what happens is he bumps into him at the urinal. I'm not going to give the whole story away, but he bumps into him at the urinal and tries to start a conversation about how he needs to do a paper on him. And it's just super awkward. And then it basically ends up, Jerry just ends up going, you know what, let's forget this ever happened. And then he does this thing where it's a slow motion. He pats him on the back and touches him. rest of the movie, Buddy, the guy's name is Buddy Revell. The whole rest of the movie, Buddy is trying, he's like saying, you and me are going to fight today at 3 o'clock.
Yeah,
and the whole movie is Jerry trying to get out of it and not being able to, no matter what he does. It's so great.
I like it.
So
I like it.
3 o'clock.
High. I thought you were going to say it was like a high school setting Western.
Oh, that would be interesting.
But it was just, have you ever seen the movie Brick?
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, that but was like that, but a Western. Never mind, new retirement plan. Never mind the food truck or the chairs by the side of the road. I make movies now.
We're going to edit those entrepreneurial adventures out for you.
just one long bleep so nobody steals my movie idea.
Exactly. So yeah,
the podcast was pretty good, but there was 10 minutes of static toward the end.
Oh, that's great. As we close, Matt, and this has been so fun, but as we close, can you tell us about one thing you're working on that you're most excited about?
Ooh. I don't actually know that I can person paperwork.
Understandable. It happens.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I got the 2017 talk coming up.
Ooh. That sounds interesting.
That is, you know, no spoilers, but I feel like it might have something to do with the book.
Nice.
That could be good. That could be good.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tough topic to carry for a talk, you know?
Oh, I would venture so.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to have to, like, maybe a musical. Maybe do a musical. Keep it entertaining.
Just, you can inject your personality and it'll be fun. You and Ethan can fight during that talk somehow.
I like that. Play an interlude.
Hold on a second.
Oh, I thought you were like going to go and talk trash. Hang on, let me get him on the horn. Ethan, what do you have to say?
Yeah, he's here. He's actually been listening the whole time. No.
I knew it.
So that's great. Well, why don't you tell our audience the best way to connect and to keep up with you, Matt?
I mean, like it or not, I'm Wilto everywhere.
There you go.
Wilto on GitHub, Wilto on Twitter, WILTO. I apologize in advance. I mean, if you're an astute listener, I literally gave away my email address earlier, so
yeah, you did.
You know, feel free. What the hell?
Yeah,
that's me all over the internet.
Oh, Matt, this has been just a blast. You know, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says that laughter is like medicine, and this has been like medicine for me, man, and I need it after just some of the stuff I've been going through personally. But I just appreciate you making me laugh. I hope, I'm sure our listeners have been cracking up too, doing whatever they're doing in the gym or, you know.
Sure, I hope so.
Oh, yeah, it's just been so fun. So I thank you for taking the time to talk with me and to inspire me and our listeners. It's been a great pleasure, and I just want to say, fight on, my friend.
Anytime. Thank you for having me, man.
You bet. Tell me you wouldn't want to see that cage match between Matt and Ethan. Sorry for my laugh track. I simply could not help it. Matt had me in stitches, and I truly needed that after the last few months that I've had. I hope it not only cheered you up and brought you some laughter, but that it inspired you to want to take your discipline as a designer one step further by introducing more interactivity and intelligence into your future designs. JavaScript is still the language of the web, and unlike other languages, it's not going anywhere. The best way to do that would be to pick up Matt's brand new book, JavaScript for Web Designers. Now, our great friends at A Book Apart have offered a generous 15% off using coupon code SCRIPTHERO at checkout. That's all one word. Matt's wonderful and unique sense of humor definitely come through in his amazing book as well. Now, don't miss this exclusive Defenders discount that's good through the end of February. Thanks again for listening, Defenders, and encouraging me to fight on. I want to thank Chris Combs for the extraordinary editing, Eli Jorgensen for the astonishing artwork, and new resident superhero Darren Goldsmith for the sensational show notes. I appreciate you, Defenders, and I'm here for you. If I can ever be of service, don't hesitate to reach out to me at userdefenders@gmail.com. And until next time, fight on, my friends.